Well, good morning, Grace people. Good to be with you today. And again, another greeting to those who are watching online this morning. We're glad that you are with us, and we are with you in spirit today. Well, we are following Jesus. At least we're trying to, right? Because that's what disciples do. Specifically, we have been following Jesus on his journey to the cross in the Gospel of St. Luke. It's a journey that began in Bethlehem, then continued on in Nazareth, and then traveled all throughout Galilee, and now is approaching Jerusalem. Throughout this journey, Jesus has been revealing who he is and teaching about the kingdom of God that he is establishing. And it's so important that we receive Jesus' revelation and teachings by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because to receive them any other way is to miss the point. If we receive them only in our own human way, it's so easy to turn Jesus' life and ministry into some kind of morality play or moral guidance or self-help message. Or as my friend, Pastor Steve Turnbull, puts it, we substitute good advice for the good news. So today, as we continue to learn from the Scriptures, it is my prayer for you that the Holy Spirit reveals to you who Jesus is and the kingdom that he is establishing. Amen? Awesome, awesome. So let's dig in. Open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 35. If you need a Bible, the ushers have some Bibles that are off in the edges here. You can certainly grab one of those. You can open up on your phone or on your pad or whatever you've got. Feel free to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 18, verse 35. As you're turning there, I want to set the scene for you. Jesus has just spoken to his disciples about what lies ahead for him in Jerusalem. And this is what he says is going to happen. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. Now, this isn't the first time that Jesus has shared this outcome with his disciples. It's not the second time that he has shared this outcome with his disciples. It's the third time. Why didn't they get it? Because it was hidden from them and they couldn't see it. Or to say it another way, they were blinded to the truth. Now, with that in mind, let's start reading at verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Sounds like a pretty straightforward story, right? In fact, in my Bible, there's a heading that's inserted right above this section that says, "A blind beggar receives his sight." Probably could have saved us some time from reading. Just read that and move on, right? But there is more than meets the eye that is happening in this story. Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem, but on the way he passes through Jericho. Jericho, does that name sound familiar to anybody? Jericho is an Old Testament town. As a matter of fact, it's one of the most ancient cities in that region of the world. And the story in the Old Testament goes that this city of Jericho had high walls that were meant to keep anybody from the outside getting in and anybody on the inside from getting out. But that's not how the story ends. God's people march around this city and the walls crumble. So Jesus is going through Jericho, and there's a crowd to greet him. Why? Because this is Jesus of Nazareth. He had started to become kind of a big deal. He was the miracle worker. People were listening to him teach. People were witnessing what he was doing, what he was saying, the kind of authority in which he spoke and acted. So the town starts to gather down the main road through Jericho. Very common. When somebody of royalty or dignity or high status comes through town, the town would come to meet him. So there was the crowd coming with Jesus. There was the crowd meeting Jesus in Jericho, and they're cheering him on, and they're walking with him, and they're so excited. And then there's a blind man begging at the side of the road. This would be very common. This is where you would find people begging. This is where you would find somebody with a disability. They'd be sitting at the side of the road because this is all that they could do. It's the only way that they could make an income. Asking for somebody to help them, asking for somebody to give them some money or give them some food or give them something to sustain themselves. And so that's where we find this blind beggar at the side of the road. But he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, why doesn't he say, "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me"? Instead, he says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Why? I mean, Jesus was Joseph and Mary's son, not David's son. He's not Jesus Davidson. Not his last name. So why is he calling him Son of David? Well, he's referring back to King David, and this is a common way of saying that they are of the house of David. They are of the lineage of David. They're part of his dynasty. Jewish people in the time of Jesus and before and after would often refer to themselves as sons and daughters of Abraham. Now, they weren't literally sons and daughters of Abraham, but they were a part of Abraham's family. They were a part of Abraham's promise. So this man on the side of the road, when Jesus comes by, doesn't cry out, "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me." He cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Because he recognizes who Jesus is. It means he's of the house of David. It means that Jesus is royalty. It means that he is the anointed one, which is what the Messiah translates into. Anointed one, how you would anoint a king. He is part of David's line. He's part of the promise that God gave to his people that there would always be someone on David's throne, that that kingdom would last forever, except it wasn't. As they looked around and saw things, they didn't see any king of David's lineage at work until Jesus arrives. And so this man cries out. He knows this is the Messiah. And what is significant about a blind man doing this? Because the blind and the lame were excluded from participation in the religious life of the temple. They were pushed to the outside. Why? Well, we read about it if we go all the way back into the Old Testament in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 6 and 8. Just hear this part of the story, because this is about David. David, the king, and his men marched to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusites, who who lived there. The Jebusites said to David, "You will not get in here. Even the blind and the lame can ward you off." They thought, "David cannot get in here." Nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion, which is the city of David. On that day, David had said, "Anyone who conquers the Jebusites will have to use the water shaft to reach those lame and blind who are David's enemies." That is why they say, "The blind and lame will not enter the palace." David is going to retake Jerusalem from the Jebusites. And the Jebusites are mocking him by saying, "He won't get in here. Even our blind and lame could keep you out." But David conquers them and then says, "Yeah, you know where you're going to find your blind and lame now? At the bottom of the well." And they are now enemies. And they will not be allowed to enter the palace. That word palace there could be translated as house, temple, or palace, almost interchangeably. Now, did David actually hate people who were blind and lame? It's not clear. Could very easily be that he's just mad at the Jebusites for mocking him this way. But nonetheless, this idea of the lame and the blind being kept outside carried right on into Jewish law. You wouldn't find the blind and the lame in the temple. They were kept out. Because of David's anger and because of how it was taken up by the religious folks, the blind and the lame were excluded from the kingdom. A religious wall was built to keep them away. That's why the crowd tried to shut up the mouth of the blind man on the side of the road. But instead of stopping, the blind man got even louder. It says he cried out, which could also as easily be translated as he screamed, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stops the parade. He silences the crowd. And he asks for this man to be brought before him. What, to rebuke him? To condemn him? No. To ask him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And this man doesn't say, "Well, just give me some bread to make it by. Just have a little bit of pity on me and give me a couple of coins to spare." No, he boldly looks at Jesus through his blind eyes and says, "I want to see." And Jesus says, "Your sight is given to you. Your faith has healed you." And in that moment, the curse that David had put down so many years before and had been carried through by the religious folks of the time was broken. It was broken. Those who were excluded from the religious kingdom were now welcomed in to God's kingdom by the Messiah himself. The excluded ones, the blind, the lame. Hey, let's throw in the other excluded ones, right? The women and the children. How about those who had any disability or defect? The impure, those who were the lepers or diseased in any way? Or how about those foreigners? They need to be kept out too. That's the kind of walls that were built until Jesus breaks them down. What the disciples couldn't see or understand, a blind man sees clearly. Just like Jesus said in John 9:39, "For judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Sometimes the spirit of religion makes us blind to the good news. What is this spirit of religion that I'm talking about? Well, the spirit of religion builds walls to keep people out. It creates barriers of religious laws that no one can see over or climb over. And those walls are guarded by the religious gatekeepers who will keep you penned in with their hypocritical regulations. It turns this town, this city of Jericho, into a place where people think that they're safe inside. They're protected from all that evil on the outside, when in reality, it's a prison built by others and by themselves. And once the spirit has a hold of you, the walls go up and the blinders go on. This is the way of religion, and it's the way of the world. And it turns so many people into being imprisoned in their own personal Jericho. But the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, breaks down those walls and brings people in. The Holy Spirit isn't afraid to let outsiders in, because guess what? We're all outsiders. Every one of us on the outside. All of us beggars. All of us excluded and blinded until Jesus comes to us and breaks down the walls. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. We're closing in there on the story. We're a week away from Palm Sunday, when Jesus will make another triumphal entry into a town. But before he gets there, he passes through Jericho. So what's your Jericho? What are the walls that you've put up? Or what are the walls that others have put up around you? What are those walls? Friends, repent and believe the good news. That's what Jesus comes to say. He says, "The kingdom has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Jesus is offering you a new life that is filled with his spirit and saturated with his kingdom. So where are the religious walls that need to come down in your life or in the life of someone dear to you? Well, then cry out to Jesus. And know that Jesus is not deaf to your cries. He hears you. He draws near to you. He quiets the voices of hell that want to silence you. He tears down the walls and builds a bridge of faith to you. He builds the bridge. You don't build the bridge to him. He builds it to you. For everyone who's standing inside of their own personal Jericho, who is tired of trying to climb the ladder to get out or find the stairway to heaven so you can escape. You need to know that Jesus came down that stairway to you to find you right where you are and to break down those walls of division. Just like on the cross, when that which divided the inner sanctum and the next court in the temple was torn in two. The division is made and union is brought between God and his people through the blood of Jesus. That's what he offers to us. The Anointed One has come to proclaim good news to the poor in spirit, to proclaim freedom for those who are in spiritual bondage, and to restore sight to those who are in spiritual darkness. This is good news. This is the year of God's grace, and this is the day of Jesus' salvation and healing. Don't miss it. Don't turn away from it. Don't think you are unworthy of it because he sees you through his eyes of love and desires to call you near. May the Holy Spirit open your eyes to see Jesus as he really is and the kingdom that he has come to establish by his sacrificial death on the cross for you. May you see the mercy and grace of God that is for you and for your neighbor. And may the walls come tumbling down and the blinders fall from your eyes. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, here we are, every one of us, in one way or another, a beggar at the side of the road, surrounded by walls that have been built for us and walls of our own design, brick by brick, separating ourselves from you. Father, we thank you today that you sent Jesus on this long road, and that before he even got to Jerusalem, Lord, he marched through Jericho, that city of walls. Lord Jesus, would you march into our hearts? Would you tear down the barrier? Would you offer the gift of faith so that we can see you as you really are, as we see ourselves as we really are, and know your forgiveness and your love and your healing and your salvation on our journey of following you. Draw us close. Lift the blinders off our eyes. Thank you, Jesus, for that gift today and tomorrow and the day after, Lord. Help us live into the promise that you give us of never leaving us or forsaking us. We trust in you, Jesus. We believe in you, Jesus. Thank you for that gift today. All these things we pray, Jesus, in your name, and all God's people said, amen, amen.